Good old Miami construction.
It's a racket, man. I think it's all has to do with like mob money. It's like Cuban mafia money or something.
All that shit down there has always been the whole, like, they gotta keep using the funding, so they just dig open up holes just so that they're like, oh, we're gonna be short, you know, and spending 50,000, fuck it, let's go, where haven't we opened a hole yet?
Yeah, it's kind of like when they do it in a business. It's like, oh, you didn't spend the amount you're supposed to, your budget for the year? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, then we're gonna lower it. And everyone's like, oh, shit, can't have that happen. Mm-hmm. So let's start tearing up roads and making my drive to work even worse than it normally would be.
It's going to be like, Jim, you're getting a new computer.
Yeah, I'd love to be at a company like that. It's like, hey, man, we really need to spend some money. You know, what do you guys have? I'd be the one to raise my hand. Hookers?
You don't get the show.
And we're back with another show. I'm Jay LaRock. He's Randy. What's up?
What's up, player?
Man, there's a lot of angry people out there now. I mean, there's anger and pissed all over the place, man, from the inauguration to the freaking protest. That is protest like every other day. It's like, man, I go out and I look and I keep thinking like someone's going out to buy the new Nintendo Switch. And I'm like, no, it's a protest line.
Shit. It's gotten to the point where I'm almost afraid to turn on the news in the morning and see what the hell else is going on.
It's kind of like the news network in a really bad RPG, and you know that the news network is just to tell you about what shitty thing that you're going to have to do in your next mission. That's what it is every day. Like, you turn on the news, you're like, oh, god damn, I don't want to do that mission. That shit sucks.
It's like, god damn it. I have to go kill how many of those damn things again? Well, that was like to me, freaking Fallout 4. Once like I got into it where I started like getting a bunch of the different encampments, and I laughed my ass off because starting to play that game, like I did not realize, and it wasn't until one of my like coworkers brought it up to me where he was like, oh, you do realize like you can go into the building mode and you can run around and those like dilapidated buildings, you could like scrap all that metal and get a whole shit ton of metal. And I'm like, really? Dude, I went around and I freaking cleaned every damn like settlement that I had of all scrap metal, and then like literally started going around and just building little machine gun turrets every like 10 feet from one another. So I'd surround the encampment with machine gun turrets. So I'd laugh my ass off when I'd freaking sit there and go back to the main town. Press is like, hey, there's a settlement that has a problem. I'm like, with who? I'm like, if they're fucking crazy enough to go through all that. And it was hilarious because I'd go out to the settlement and literally I'd zone in and all you hear is the boom of the turrets just aiming. All you hear is like, fuck, 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 of these freaking turrets just mowing down people. So I'd stand there, wouldn't fire a single shot. I'd kill all the guys that were attacking, and I'd just go up and loot them all for ammo. And I'm like, well, my work here's done. I'm going now.
Yeah, and if there's crossfire and your own, you know, settlement people get killed, hey, no problem. Look, it's all for the protection.
That was funny. I had zero armed people in these settlements. It was just machine gun turrets. So it was like the people would show up, the raiders would show up, all the settlers would run into the middle building, and all you'd hear is the oh, tuck, 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 tuck. And these fucking machine guns just were taking people out. It was hilarious.
I used to like that in StarCraft. I'd go around and I'd just build just enough so I could put up a missile turret and a bunker. And I'd just have them all over the map. And then you'd try to come over to my base and it's just a gauntlet of death.
Shit, man. So I told you earlier today, like I got into the Ghost Recon Wildlands beta, closed beta. And It's funny as hell because typical Ubisoft is, you know, it literally is like just like The Division. So third person action kind of like it's not RPG that Division has. It's a shooter and it's more tactical. So like you go in, like if you play solo, you have four or three co-op AI, or you can invite up to three friends to go with you. So it's neat because you could do shit like, you know, you have a little drone that you can send up to like scout the area and it'll mark guys, and you can with the drone tag the guys in an order. So you can tag up to three guys and like basically be like, okay, one guy shoot this guy, one guy shoot this guy, one guy shoot this guy. And then you pick a fourth and then you can give the order and everybody, like literally when you shoot your guy, they shoot their guys. so you can drop four guys at the same time. And it's neat, and some of the bugs are freaking hilarious if I ever did see it. So far, the best one I've loved is having one of my guys in a group of, like, bushes and trees, and him start shooting, and literally all the bushes and trees go like this with the machine gun, like, to the machine gun fire always. And I started looking at it going, what the hell is this? But, like, yes, it's a closed beta. Yes, it still needs work. I don't honestly think, like, they're shooting for a February 16th release date. I don't think that they're going to be, yeah. Like, at least in the state that it is in right now, like, honestly, like, I couldn't see that thing being ready for the 16th. Now, what's really interesting, though, is the size of the map that they give you is enormous. And when I mean enormous, it is huge. And this is literally one zone of 21 zones that's going to be in the entire game. So if the rest of the game is going to be like 21 times bigger than this, good God, this thing's going to be ginormous. But what I've played with, it's kind of neat. I do like the only weird thing and the only thing I have to complain about, the driving in the game is so bad. Have to agree with what like somebody put in the forums. It's like, did anybody on the development team play like GTA 5 or something before doing this? Cause good God, like the cars drive, but they like, you're going and you're turning the wheel and it almost feels like the car's not turning. Like it's turning so slow. You know, you like literally have
power steering.
Yeah, like it is. It, like you see the wheels are locked left, and your car's like just drifting off to the left a little bit, and you're just like, "Fuck!" You gotta let go of the gas and hit the brakes, and then it'll turn hard. The only weird, odd thing that I kind of found with it, and I fixed it by removing the V-Sync, was it would do this weird thing where like you'd be driving and then go to limit the frame rate, so like the car would kind of seem like it was doing this the whole time, so it was like driving forward and bouncing back. It was the weirdest thing. Like I was looking at it going, something's not right here. But
you do what a kid when you first get your license, you just keep hitting the brakes.
Yeah, like, it's like the guy was two pedaling, like driving and shit. Like, but like I mean, all in all, it's kind of neat. I was looking forward to this with what I saw, but now I've moved into the realm of like, yeah, I may wait a couple months and let this shit come out and let them work out the bugs and shit before I dive into it. Because I got bitten with the bug of shame from The Division.
Oh, God, don't mention that terrible game.
Yeah, like, I mean, the thing about The Division was I enjoyed it when it came out. It was fun, but I realized, like, an hour or two into it, I was like, okay, so I'm doing literally the exact same mission over and over again.
Yep.
You know? Like, they could have done so much more with that game, and it was a shame, too. I mean, I haven't played it as of recently, which I've heard they fixed a lot, but it's still not, like, up there. But good old Ubisoft, like, let's nickel and dime people. Come on.
Before we get into our two stories, my story and Randy's story, I wanted to talk about something in our little back in the day segment. I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, someone posted on Facebook about, you know, having demos and things like that and being able to play games. And one of the things I thought about back in the day was when you would go to a store, whether it be like maybe a Best Buy, electronic store, or game store, and you'd actually play like the little demo there. They'd have like either Nintendo, PlayStation, something like that. But it had like a time limit. Did you ever go and play any of those that were set up in the stores?
I remember playing some of them. Like I didn't, God, I remember like the ones that they had. Oh, I remember, I think it was like Toys R Us that used to have that. I think it was like an N64 now that you say it, but they would have it like you would play it. And then like after a certain amount of time, like it had an automatic like reset button. You remember that shit? Where we'd like, even if nobody was playing it, after like 15, 20 minutes, it would just reset it, reboot itself.
What is that noise? Is that you scrolling your mouse?
Yeah, that's me scrolling the mouse. Sorry.
What do you got, like a playing card in it? You got smokes?
It's one of those damn, like the Logitech mice that you can like either have it like click when you roll, or if you like unclick the gear, it'll just roll smooth. I just the roll smooth thing feels weird as shit. That's why.
You like it ribbed?
I like it ribbed.
Now, I remember when I would go to Best Buy, and Best Buy actually had, like, I think it was a PlayStation at the time, and they had that connected to the system. But their reset timer was, like, a half hour. And always be that kid who would, like, live on that motherfucker. I don't know if maybe, like, their parents are just like, look, I can't stand being with you, so go over there and play. But I remember even once I went because I was, like, off school or something. But it was like, just our school. It wasn't, like, all schools. And I still see someone camping out there, and I'm like, that just drove me crazy that there'd be, like, some kid camping that thing like he's in his living room and shit. It's like, get off and let us play.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that, like, God. Well, I remember more of that shit when I worked at GameStop, where you would have those fucking kids that would come in and literally, like, sit there the entire day and just play. And it was like, okay, you really need to, like, let other people, you know, let other people play and shit.
Yeah, what was the rule with that? Could you, like, kick them off? Or, like, did you ever switch to, like, turn off the game? That'd be great. Like, you just piss them off.
So, like, the real rule of it was, like, we really didn't have any rule to it. So it was like, okay, they're there, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, let them play. But, like, everyone was like, yeah, let them play. But, like, if other people want to try a game out, like, let them know. And, I mean, there were some kids that were, like, cool with it. They were like, all right, yeah, cool. They get off of it and then let the other people do it. And then there would be, like, those kids that would come in and be the little fucking brats and would just hog the damn system and wouldn't let anybody play. And, yo, I remember there was this one kid that would come into our store. And this kid, like, it was, like, it wasn't as bad enough that the kid played it, like, crazy at home. But he would come into our store just to play. So, like, we'd have a new release that we'd throw into the game system so people could play it and then buy it. And he'd just sit there and play it. And then, like, after a while, like, one of my key holders is like, you know, hey, we notice, like, you're here all the time, this and that. And, like, do you ever get the games? He's like, no, why am I going to get it? I'll just come here and I'll play it till I beat it. So then we were like, all right, we're like, you know, hey, that's actually a smart idea. I'm like, if it's fucking here and you got nothing better to do. But then we realized, like, he'd be playing it and other people would want to play it. And we realized, like, nobody's playing the game and then nobody's going to get into the game and want to buy it. So, like, we'd be like, hey, you know, you need to let other people in. And then, at first he was like, oh, okay. And he'd let people play for a bit and then they'd put the controller down and he'd come back. And then I got to a point where this little bastard was just like, you know, oh, yeah, they can wait till I'm done. And, yo, one day I was like, he sat there and said that to me. Like, my key holder should tell me, like, oh, yeah, he says that he won't give it up unless, like, you know, until he's done. And I'm like, you need to tell him, like, hey, you need to give up the controller. You know, and they're like, oh, but we don't feel it's our place. I'm like, let that little bastard tell that to me. I'll freaking tell him. So sure enough, one day I'm like, hey, can you let people, like, do it? And he's like, oh, no, they can wait till I'm done. I'm like, no, you're going to give the controller to those people because you're here every single day and you're playing all the time. And he looked at me and he's like, who do you think you are? I'm like, I'm the store manager. So you're going to give the controller. The moment the kid was like, well, they can play, I went boop and just shut the system off. I'm like, now you can give them the controller and you can get out of the store, you know? And he was just like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And he was just like, I'm going to complain. I'm like, to who? You're talking to the most senior person in the store. You know, and this little kid just
supervisor
like,
B.
Yeah, he was just sitting there, the balls on this kid. And I'm like, tell you what, not only am I kicking you out right now, but I don't want to see you back in this place. And I'm going to let everybody know not to let you back into this place. And that little kid just threw this temper tantrum and all that. I flicked the machine back on. I booted it back up. And then, like, a couple days later, here comes the same kid with his parents, with his mom. And she's like, excuse me, like, you kicked my son out of the store? I said, yes, I did, ma'am. And she's like, why? I said, because he comes in, and I don't mind, you know, and he plays the game all the time. And I said, and, like, she was going to get ready to say something, and I'm like, no, I don't mind him coming in and playing it, but what I do mind is when he comes in and plays it and doesn't let other people play the game. Like, he used to do it before, and then all of a sudden he was just like, nope, they have to wait till I'm done, but he would stay here all day. You know, and I'm like, and I asked, and I had my key holders, I kind of nicely ask him, like, hey, would you mind, like, letting somebody else play for a little bit? You can have it back when they're done. And he basically told me no, that they could wait for him. That mother just sat there and just looked at me and looked down at this kid. And literally, that woman, like, had the patience of a saint, because I could feel just her wanting to just, like, lift the hand and just slap the shit out of the cat. And she was just like, really? And I said, yes, and that is the reason why I had to ask him to leave the store. And I told him until he sat there and learned that, hey, he has to let other people do, I would not allow him to come back into the store. And she was just like, looked at me, smiled, and said, thank you very much. She's like, come on, let's go home. I'm like, as soon as that kid walked out the store, I turned to one of my guys and like, she gonna beat his ass when she gets home.
So she'll probably beat his ass in the car. Do one of those old school backhand where you're like, whack. I was really good at that. I don't know how she was able to hit me. I'd be bouncing all around the back seat. She'd connect. She had a 99% connection rate.
Yeah, that was fucking. That was it, man. Freaking parents were they got that fucking reach. You even mess around, they're looking at you in the rearview mirror. As soon as they see you fuck up, boom, then you fuck up your pattern.
Same thing. My mom would throw the shoe. She could hit me two rooms away with that motherfucker. She'd be like, I'd be talking some shit. She'd be like, oh. It'd be like a boomerang. Pop. It hit me and then fly back, and then she'd just catch it and put it back on her foot.
Mm-hmm. Be like that old Eddie Murphy. Old Eddie Murphy joke. I hear you in the room fucking up. She'd be walking out. It's like, hold on, baby. Take out the freaking. Take off the shoe. All
right. So, what do you got for us today, Randy?
So, what's interesting is in doing my research and everything like that for the new show, which I guess we could, since we're literally like right there to start recording, we can mention it at the end of the show. But in doing my research, I came across a story that I found funny as shit. And not only I had heard about the story, but then I found apparently it's a British publication or whatever that did this article. So the article entitles from the game company Games Workshop, which makes the Warhammer 40,000 tabletop miniatures game. They've been making this game for years and years and years. Like, people that do tabletop miniatures gaming, like, it's Warhammer, and then there's, like, everything else. And you will have people that will dump thousands of dollars into these miniatures just to play. So apparently, Games Workshop came out with an army that the characters are wearing these like fur like things on top of their armor, almost like coats. And apparently PETA had a problem with this and said like, hey, like they literally sent a letter to Games Workshop saying like, hey, that, you know, that the game shouldn't be promoting like people wearing furs and all this bullshit and this and that. So what I found really fun, like, other than the fact that PETA, like, you know, I guess they were like, you know, hey, we haven't been in the news in a while and people have forgotten about us. Like, let's start some shit. But this guy basically sat there and said, like, you know, okay, so if you sit there and you look at it, the faction that they're putting this fuss up against are these, like, Chaos Warriors, which are essentially, like, humans that have gone bad. And the faction is called Horus Lupercal. So they pointed out that, hey, they wear a lot of fur. So this guy pointed out that if you look into the lore, Lupercal is one of 20 sons of the emperors whose rebellion, the Horus Heresy, cost all those lives of like all these things. So as the inciting act of the rebellion, he virus bombed a planet. You know, dropping a manufactured microorganism that spread over the entire planet in a matter of minutes, breaking down all organic life into sludge. So the guy put, yes, PETA, he didn't just kill humans, but all life on this planet as well. And then he goes to put on, maybe the fur is the wrong thing to focus on here.
Fur is murder. It's like, well, we're Murder Incorporated. So,
yeah. So what's the problem? They're bitching about this one faction of humans that's wearing fur. And they're like, this guy like pointed out, like, do you realize the guy's father nerve gassed a fucking planet that turned the whole planet into goo?
I mean, damn, this must be like, I think of it like, I remember reading a story how they said that if you want to get into Pixar, you start off by doing like the small little vignettes that they do before the movie. That's how you like earn your way on to actually get on the full movie. is this the same thing like with PETA? It's like you have PETA going after the real shit, and then you have like the noobs, like the interns, like, yeah, you go find some bullshit on the internet to complain about, which will make us look bad.
I mean, yeah. Seriously? But it is hilarious because like one guy even like pointed out, he's like, if you sit there and you think about it, this is the year 40,000. Like, who's to say that these furs come from fucking, like, animals? They could be an alien race that they decided to, like, wipe out, and they're like, fuck it, we're going to keep their skin and we're going to wear it.
Yeah. I mean, for all you know, maybe the Nerf agent didn't work all the way, and there was a little bit of fur left, and they just put it on. So either way, they were kind of recycling.
Like, pulled it out of the primordial soup there. They're like, oh, look, we'll just dry clean this and we'll be able to wear it.
Yeah, what would they go, just leave it on the goo planet? I mean, come on, that would be right.
But it's like, it's funny as hell because, like, even the guys, like, from the ETC, the guys that used to do the Machinima show, they were like, you know, they figured they came out with this shit because they're like, yeah, well, yeah, PETA hasn't been in the news in a while. We got to do something to get back in there so people will forget about us.
Yeah, that just seems like, I don't even know how you would come across that and decide, like, you would think there'd be, like, a committee, and you'd bring it up, and you'd be like, hey, so here are a bunch of things that we want to complain about. And then this shows up, and then a guy should just slap you? Because it's like, are you kidding me? This is going to make us look stupid if we do this. We're PETA. We're trying to be a serious organization. But no, they actually did go that. I mean, wow. What about, could you imagine other games like that? Like World of Warcraft, you know, you have the hunter class, and you have to feed it, and then you send it out to fight. I mean, they must hate, well, I actually did hear that PETA hates Pokemon. Because the idea of capturing them and keeping them in captivity inside the ball.
Let's face facts here, okay? I brought this up with a coworker of mine the other day, and let's face facts. If you sit there and you look at it, in the Pokemon universe, it is essentially fucking cockfighting. You are gathering animals and forcing them to live in these tiny little cages, and then you're forcing them to fight for you.
Okay? Which is totally fine in Japan.
Yeah, which is totally fine in Japan. And it's hilarious because if you sit there and you look at it, it is literally like, you know, that's what they're doing. They're taking these like 10, 12-year-old kids. They're like, all right, go out into the world and go into your little illegal, like your legal cockfighting ring and hope you become a champion, son.
If anything, that should be the actual concern, that you always have these little kids going out into the world like, bye, Mom, I'm going on a 3-year adventure across the country and I'm going to be meeting random people in the woods and battling with my pets that I keep in captivity. And, oh, there's a bunch of grown-ups and Team Rockets chasing after me. But, hey, you know, this is just a rite of passage for me being a teenager.
Exactly.
Seriously?
It's like, Jesus.
I think that once they did try – they did an episode where they showed what it was like inside the Pokeball. And it's like a Poke World, and they try to make it look all nice. And it's like, you know, that's kind of like giving slaves a nice cot. You're still a slave.
No, I still say the best thing that they made fun of, like, that what it's like to be in there was what the hell was the name of that Robot Chicken when they did that one episode of Robbie when fucking Pikachu's in the club slapping the ass of the other Pikachu and then like Ash calls him out, he comes out, his eyes are all bloodshot because he hasn't slept.
I love that somebody made like a thing when they had Pokemon Go and you could double of the pet. And you would trade in the pet, and then they would give you, like, the vitamins or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah, it was candy. So it was, like, the picture of the fucking Pokeballs and the guy grinding it into candy.
Well, actually, they used, like, Rick and Morty. And they had Rick, and he had a machine where it's like, yeah, we grind them up into this candy. What did you – how do you think we get candy from these edibles? Like, what did you think this was?
Holy shit. Now the freaking Patriots have made it a fucking Super Bowl, man. I turned off the game. It was 28-3, and now it is 26-28. Holy shit.
What? I knew it was going to be something like that. I knew they were going to end up coming back and getting really close.
You know Belichick just walked into the fucking thing and like, y'all need to do your job. Because I could see, I was laughing my ass off while we were watching it, me and my wife. When they were walking off into the halftime show where you could see all the Patriots players like head hang low, I'm like, because they know they're going to get their ass chewed out by Belichick in that locker room.
I mean, damn. You know, they were saying that no one's ever come back and won from a 2-touchdown Super Bowl. And now, like,
From 21 points, from being down 21 points, no one has come back. Yeah. And literally, they tied the game. They got a 2-point conversion. Holy Christ.
Could you imagine being the Falcons? Because, I mean, you thought you had this in the bag, and now the game's tied. How much time is left?
Jesus, 57 seconds. That's going to have to go into overtime.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, dude.
If they end up losing, they're going to be such the biggest joke, and it's going to be like what happened to Golden State Warriors.
Oh, hell yeah. Holy Christ. Damn. I cannot believe that shit's fucking. That got that. Holy Christ, man.
Mm-mm-mm.
That is crazy.
All right, well.
This is why I never watch football games, because the moment I watch, like, it all goes to shit. The moment I turn it off is when the game actually gets good.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Like, especially if I'm watching the Heat, and especially during a big three, I was like, man, if I watch it, they're going to end up losing or something.
Yeah.
All right, so my story has to do with this Steam game. And, I mean, man, one thing I never understood is, like, when people do a crime and they videotape themselves. You know, it's like, you know that some dumbass is going to release it. And, like, I remember there was a story about some guys, and they were, like, breaking in the abandoned houses or houses under construction. They're sitting there like destroying things, and they're videotaping themselves making, like, you know, all these gestures and stuff, and of course it got out. So then, you know, not only do they get busted for that one event, but then there's evidence of all these other houses that you broke in, no one's destroying property. There's always, like, if you do things like this, don't leave evidence, don't leave a paper trail, don't leave a way for people to be able to find out what you're doing. And there was also another story talking about how with, like, Amazon reviews, you have people who will go and they'll pay people, usually in other countries, to give positive reviews. And sometimes if they're really dastardly, they'll pay someone to give negative reviews on another system. Mm-hmm. So they do this on Yelp and all that. You know, somebody will post and they'll say, oh, well, this was the greatest thing. 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever. And you're like, I wonder if this person actually wrote it or if this was written by – you see that with, like, apps too. Like, you ever go and buy, like, a game or even just a regular app and you're looking at all the 5-star reviews and it's just like, this is the best app I've ever seen of its kind. And you're like, That doesn't even sound like a real person. So what happened here is the game The Art of Stealth ended up being removed off of Steam basically because – the developers were coming on and posting positive reviews. And of course they were not very smart. You'd think being developers, maybe they'd have some brains, but it was able to track it back to them showing that they were using all these accounts to do it. I mean, they couldn't even do anything like, hey, get some friends in the next state over. No. So the game came out and basically they were talking about how it's going to be this great stealth adventure. I don't know if it maybe was supposed to be in the vein of, like Spec Ops or something like that. Mm-hmm. But when it hit Steam and it got reviewed, people basically said it was terrible. I mean, your old boy, Jim Sterling, tore it up so badly.
I remember that video too.
That they started complaining to him. They wanted to sue Jim Sterling because they're saying that he was not kind to developers and he doesn't understand that they're a small company and that by him saying it's crap, it's like, I don't know, defamation of character or some shit.
Well, I laugh at this because, like, he was the one that also started that whole thing with, I forgot the name of that company, the one that they got removed off of Steam and eventually ended up filing for bankruptcy or whatever, where they were doing those, like, asset flip games that were, like, garbage. What the hell? Digital Homicide, I think it was, that we spoke of?
Yes.
So same shit with them. Like, these guys were basically, like, asset flipping games. Although this game, really, it wasn't an asset flip. Like, when you watch the video that he did of it, like, you can tell, like, they spend time to, like, make the levels and all that, but you could tell it was literally, like, they just bought, like, a thing of assets and then used that to make the games. So he was basically, like, his big thing about it was, like, I love watching him do, like, these playthroughs of these, like, early access games and all that, because, like, he sits there and he goes in with every single one of them and, like, I expect, like, nothing. I don't expect it to be great. I don't expect it to be crap. He's like, but I'm going to call it out. If it's great, it's great. And if it's crap, it's crap. I'm going to call it how it is. And every single one of the digital homicides things, he's like, okay, so this is obviously an asset flip. Okay, whatever, let's keep playing it. And he'll keep playing it and playing and playing until he gets to the point where either the game itself is completely broken or it's just like, whatever. So, like, I laugh my ass off at watching him do some of these videos because he'll call people out on it. He's like, oh, it's an asset flip, da-da-da. And then, like, at one point he was, like, sitting there around the corner. And I think, like, he was just barely, like, his gun was still pointing at the wall, and he got shot by an enemy. But he had no idea where he got shot from. He was like, what the hell? And he moved back, and he realized he stopped getting hit. He was like, I'm almost afraid to come walking out because I don't know where the hell I'm getting shot from, you know? And then, like, he eventually gets to the point where he gets inside the house, and he was, like, going around, and he ended up walking into a corner, fell through the corner, and then fell down the map and, like, literally... Yeah, so he's like, well, so, yeah, we just fell off the map. He's like, okay, like, and this and that, and he calls him out on it. And it's hilarious because I think about how like, he sits there and he called him out. And it's funny because in that story that you linked, it has a link to the, what you call it, the thread in the Steam community that the guy that made the game put about, like, oh, blah, 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 like, here's Jim Sterling, like, he doesn't take, you know, for granted, like, the work that we put in and blah, 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 and he's just a bully. And so, yeah. And you look at the comments that people are doing, it's like, dude, you made a shit game, and he called the odd on it. How the hell is that being a bully, you know? And he talks about, like, what are the comments? I gotta find it here. It was hilarious. This girl put... Where, like, he put in, like, you know, oh, he's this and that. And she's like, it's not his fault. Your game looks like it was made for the PlayStation 2. You made a shit game. It doesn't matter if you have a damn PhD in game development. You can still make shitty games. He did not break YouTube rules. He gave an honest review, and the fact that you guys react like this is completely childish. You're game developers. You will receive negative reviews. Learn from them. Doesn't respect our attempts to make a great game. Give me a break. No one has to respect a damn thing you do. If you want respect for making a great game, how about this? Make a great game. This entire response looks like a Donald Trump tweet. And it's true. Like, this person that made the response, it's like, yeah, you know, you're going to have critics out there, just like how we make these videos and stuff like that, you know, and we could have somebody that will go completely off in the comment section and be like, oh, you guys are ass clowns and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That's how it is. But I think, like, as a person that reviews stuff, like, especially, like, for Jim Sterling, like, he's been doing this for a really long time, almost just like Angry Joe. And you kind of tend to know what to look for. I mean, you could tell a good game the moment you start playing, you know? And it's one of those things where it's like, you gotta kind of, like, you know, be able to take a review and be, hey, it's kind of bad, you know? Yes, it's your baby, it's your work you've been working on, but come on now.
Yeah, you know? And I don't understand this idea that Jim Sterling was being mean to, you know, new developers or indie developers or whatever. It's like, that's not anything. It'd be different if someone makes, you know, a game and they don't have enough money to get, like, a choir or something to do the score or something, you know? You don't have, like, some high thing music, and then some guy just tears you apart because of that. You know, that maybe could be used as that. But if you make a bad game, it doesn't matter if you're small. There's been tons of indie games companies, small game companies that make games, but they put in the work. They put that polish on it so that when you get it, even if it does look, you know, a little bit different than a AAA title, it's still done well. You can't just use the excuse of, we're small, we're indie, to come out with crap. Same for musicians. If you make shitty music, you're not a struggling indie artist, you're just an idiot artist. So
it's almost the same thing if you sit there and look at it. For all the, like, indie developers that are out there that make crack games, look at the indie developers that are out there that make great games. Like, you look at, like, I think one that I've recently played a bit more of is Enter the Gungeon, is a small group, phenomenal game. Fun as hell, hard as shit, you know, it's really, really good. And, you know, you take something like this. When I watch the video, I'm like, holy Christ. Like, it's true what they say. Like, it looks like dated, you know, dated graphics, dated this, dated that. I mean, that is one of those things where if you're going to do stuff, you have to be open to the critics. You know, you have to sit there and be willing to, like, just lay it all out there. And you have to kind of take what people say and look at what you did and be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you have to look at it with an open mind. You can't just be like, oh, these people suck, blah, blah, blah. They don't know what I'm, you know, they don't know what a good game is. No, they kind of do, and that's why they're telling you your game sucks. You know, like, that's a huge thing. And I think more game developers just have to freaking open their minds up and not be like this, oh, whatever, blah, 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 they're a bully and this and that.
Yeah, you can't cry about that. Just like, I mean, unfortunately, that is becoming a thing. I was never the kind of person that would just say, oh, we've all become this and that, because as far as being too sensitive, because there's some people out here that are just jerks and they try to use not being sensitive as an excuse. But at the same time, you still have people who get upset, like a movie comes out and people are like, this movie's terrible, and the guy gets bad. You know, it's like, come on, you know, like you were saying, Randy, you have to be able to take criticism. And if something's bad and someone calls you out on it, it's bad. It's like Ghostbusters. I knew it was going to be bad. I watched it. It was bad. It's not because I swear to God. It's because I have bad movies.
Here's the thing that's funny. I literally read my mind here. So this is what's funny, and this will probably be the controversy and the thing. So my wife and I saw that the new Ghostbusters movie was going to be coming out, or came out on Stars, or one of the fucking movie channels or whatever it is. So we were like, oh, let's record it and let's sit down and watch it. Now, I've seen a ton of reviews for this thing where everybody tore into this movie. And I sat down and I went in with the state of mind of like, this is probably going to be bad based on all the reviews. But I did not set any expectations for the movie itself. I watched the movie, and funny enough, like, I enjoyed it. Now, comparing it to the original Ghostbusters doesn't hold a candle anywhere near the original. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, phenomenal comedians, made that movie. What really made that the original Ghostbusters great is the amount of improv that all three of the actors did while they were filming the movie. That's what made it a classic. This one, you could tell they went straight by the script and there really wasn't any improvisation to it whatsoever. The second thing about the movie that, like, when you sit to the original one compared to this, like, when you look at how the ghosts looked freaking crazy good, you know, considering way back when this movie came out in the 80s and all, it was like, holy shit, like, it was all animatronics and all that. New Ghostbusters, total CGI. They had they could have done so much better with it, but it was funny because, like, I was looking at some of the ghosts and it was, like, kind of hard to tell what some of the ghosts looked like. Like, the woman, like, you could see it was a woman, but it was like they were focusing so much on, like, you could see the skeleton underneath that you couldn't really make out her face and all that. So I was like, yeah, they missed a mark on that stuff, you know. I honestly thought the four actresses that they got for the Ghostbusters, they were funny in the movie. Each individually, that was funny. They kind of, like, had their own little, like, when they were reacting, acting with one another, that was like, eh, there was some stuff that was, like, really missed, some stuff that was, like, kind of funny. I still think the actress that blew it away was the girl that came up with all the stuff. The one that was technically Egon, other thing. She was hilarious in that movie. But, like, going through and watching that movie, I was like, man, like, I just remembered now, if there was one thing that I swear to God, if I could reach through the film and just yank it out and be like, no, you don't do that, the Fall Out Boy remake of the Ghostbusters theme.
Yes.
Sweet baby Jesus, whoever thought that up, they needed to fire that person. Because holy crap, that was bad. But now, like, the thing that was, like, interesting with it is I like, like, number one, the fact that they got Dan Aykroyd, they got freaking Bill Murray, they got freaking, what's his name, who played Winston, shit.
Oh, yeah, I bet I forgot his name.
I forgot his name. And then that they got freaking Janine, they got literally the entire original cast, except for Rick Moranis and freaking Hal Ramis, who had passed away, to do a cameo in the movie was great. Their parts in the movie were hilarious. And I like how they kind of tied in the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man as the balloon and shit, you know? And even kind of like the last form that the guy takes, that he's kind of like a Stay Puft, was, I think, pretty good too. And it's interesting because, you know, obviously they're going to come out with a sequel because, hey, it made a shit ton of money because people were going to go out and see it. So it's interesting to see where they go from here with that. But even if you sit and you look at it with all the criticisms and all that, I guarantee you the people that are writing the script are going to be like, okay, let's listen to what all these people said that was bad and let's fix it.
And that's the key. Know?
And that's the key. So it's one of those things, like, even if you sit there and you, like, you can either be the type of person that, like, just sits there and does what, like, what this guy does or what fucking Phil Fish did with Fez. And if you sit there and you look at it, Fez was a great game. Fez was a phenomenal game. Yeah. Yet people shit all over Phil Fish just because Phil Fish was Phil Fish. And he freaking just was like, well, F it, I'm not going to make any more games. And that was his own prerogative to do it. But honestly, like, he should have just been like, screw you guys, I'm going to make my game that I want to make and release it. Because yeah, I guarantee you, if he would have made a Fez 2, it would have sold without any hesitation whatsoever. You know, he could have put a turd in a box and it would have sold millions of copies. He probably never would have sold another game after that. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, in his situation, more people were more attacking him personally than the game itself. And I forgot what documentary I saw where they went into that whole, like, everything that he went through making Fez. And it's a really interesting story when you look at it from that perspective. And they go on to explain of, like, why it took so long for him to release Fez is because he would start making Fez, and then he was not only making the game but learning on how to make the game, and then he would learn something neat and it would make it look better, so he'd have to go all the way back to the beginning and then start making all that stuff that he originally did look better. So that's why it took him so long to do it. And then finally, when, and even like when they were interviewing him, he's like, and honestly, he's like, I released the game and I honestly thought that it could have used more, you know? So like this guy, you could see he had a bit of like OCD when it came to like him wanting to make this game, you know, like he kept wanting to make it better and better and better. Cause like his biggest fear was, I'm going to release something and it's going to flop because people are not going to like it. You know, and it's insane, like, looking at that, like, the amount of pressure that some of those, like, really small indie game developers go through and shit.
Definitely.
But now, I will say this. We forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, and I forgot it also, like, that you told me the other day we finally crossed that 600 subscriber mark on the channel.
That's right. And we owe the thanks to all of our, you know, subscribers, everyone who likes the show, even some of you that complain, which actually kind of leads us back to what I call the clickbait of the day.
I was about to say, we got to see, we found our niche. We have to like mention boobs so we can put a thumbnail so we can sit there and do it and get any more views.
About 17 or so episodes, but now we have a couple. This is one of them because, listen, guys, you know, we'll talk about a story that has like something sexual or something about girls in it, and then we'll put up a picture. Why? Because you guys click on it. I don't know why you guys click on everything that has a pretty picture on it, no matter what, even though we'll have these other nice, you know, topics about gaming, and then they won't get half the views this one. But hey, you know what? We realize give the people what they want. So that's
we're going to be transparent on this. We're going to use clickbait. We will admit this right now, but it will link to a story somewhere along the line.
Yes. It may be like a cleavage-enhanced woman.
We're not gonna use
story will have something to do with that.
We're not going to use alternative facts when it comes to this. We're going to be straight up and say factual stuff. We will use clickbait.
That's right. And actually, so I have one for today. And this actually goes off of our episode around Christmas.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
The Patriots won 34-28.
Oh my God.
So my God. I
here's my question now. How many Falcons don't do an interview?
That's gonna be interesting to see. Like,
because you just gotta think. In the fourth quarter, the Patriots scored 19 points. Now, granted, Falcons in the second quarter scored 21, so it's kind of like, there you go. Total, you know, total. If you, it's they scored 22 between fourth and final.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean the Falcons had it. They were like, their ring finger was itching, and then you go home with nothing. I mean, it's like Golden State Cavs all over again.
This is the thing that, like, for me, like looking at it is like. You sit there and you kind of like think about like what it is. This was going to be a great game regardless because you had the best offense in the NFL, which was the Falcons, against the best defense in the NFL, which was the Patriots. And it was hilarious because me watching that first half of football, like not for nothing, the fucking Falcons defense was walking all over New England's offense. And it was like, oh shit, like it's going to be like this. Like these guys weren't supposed to have such a great of a defense, yet they're freaking like they're putting the fucking horns into New England. And you could see Brady was fucking, he was just like, oh, about that, like he was fucking pissed, like trying to figure it out. But holy Christ,
damn,
that is insane that they won.
Well, here to go back to our clickbait segment.
Sorry, derailed.
this one is based off of what we did for Christmas, and it has to do with a picture. So you guys will be able to see the picture here and see Randy's reaction as he watches.
Good God, son.
So it's a King of Fighters anime fabric wall scroll poster that I found on Amazon Prime. As you can see, though, I don't remember this in any of the games.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
I just love how it's like decorative wall poster. I'm like, here in their basement. Because where are you going to put it on? It has 3.5 stars.
So it's funny that it says decorative wall poster and underneath that is extremely durable, better than a traditional poster.
Yeah. Look, and here, you know, we were talking about reviews. There's a review down there. And it says verified purchase, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's from this guy, James Hatcher. It says very, V-E-R-E. Beautiful, worth buying again. I will probably be doing business with this seller again.
Oh my god.
That just doesn't sound right. Come on. Everyone here has read reviews.
Oh, Lord. That is hilarious, dude.
Another person gave it 5 stars. It just says super sexy, awesome.
That is hilarious, dude. Like, wow. It makes you laugh at, like, the stuff that, like, people selling these damn things. Holy Christ, that's going to be the thumbnail that's going to get this damn.
Yep. Yep. You see? You know how to get the show? We know what we're doing here.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to create a new section in this where we're going to have to go and find the freaking craziest shit on Amazon and or eBay and just, like, not show the other person until the actual show just to get the reaction.
Yeah. See, so we got something for you guys, you know, and in 2017 we're bringing it hardcore.
Oh my God. That was almost as bad. And what's hilarious is I was showing my wife the other day like videos that we had done, and we came across, if you remember, the Pokemon, or the video that we talked about, like the parody videos of games and shit. And I told her about how, like, you had never seen that. And I told you, like, yeah, once you see that shit, that image will be burned into the back of your eyes.
And it is. It's into my soul.
And she saw the thumbnail. She's like, what the hell is that? And I pulled up that picture. And she's like, sweet Jesus, what the hell were they thinking?
I just want to know the makeup person. I mean, that person should have won whatever awards they give out in Vegas after CES for the porn awards. Just they should give it out just because of how daring they were to create that. Not because it looks good, just because you got to have some balls to be like, all right, go ahead, go out and then get in front of a camera like that.
The thing that's hilarious about that is imagine how long that poor girl had to sit in the makeup chair to freaking like, to get ready for that damn, for that scene.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, like she was there for, I mean, hell, they were talking about how what's her name, this girl, Rebecca Romijn, when she did Mystique, how long she had to sit in the makeup chair for them to do that, like, whole, like, painting her blue and all that shit. Even, what's her name, Jennifer Lawrence, it took them, like, 6 hours of them sitting there to paint them. So, I mean, granted, that shit looks like they grabbed a spray paint can, just went to paint her ass yellow.
Yeah, that's probably what they did. They're like, okay, is this going to burn her skin? Maybe. Oh, well, okay.
You know? Yeah, close enough.
Hey, sign this thing. It's for your paycheck. And it also says that if you die a horrible...
How come this says I can't sue you if I die?
Oh,
just ignore that. It's just, you know, fine printing and all that.
What do you think? You're part of the Screen Actors Guild? You do what I say.
Just sign the paper.
Oh, man. All right, so Patriots won.
Patriots won. So, in lieu of that, you know, hey, remember, they're not my second home team, so I had to kind of root for them. Mm. I mean, I know. I already had to deal with the shit-eating grin, like, disappointed father look from freaking Roger when I told him I would support the Patriots. And I told him the only reason why is I've been a diehard Dolphins fan all my life. And in my relationship with the Dolphins, I have moved beyond that feeling of hope into acceptance. I have accepted the Dolphins in my lifetime will not win a Super Bowl. It's okay. I've accepted this. I've moved on with my life. So I find myself a side team that I can have fun with and I can enjoy the winning feeling. Doesn't mean I won't be excited if the Dolphins play. And hey, if the Dolphins and the Patriots ever go in, you know, into a thing, I will root for the Dolphins.
All right. What about the Heat? Are you still a Heat fan? Or
not? Oh, hell yeah, I'm still a Heat fan. I don't give a crap if LeBron left and all that. Like, I'm going to do this with, for the moment LeBron came to the Heat, I knew, I'm like, that dude's going to be here. He's going to win his championships. He's going to go back to Cleveland and retire a Cavalier. I'm like, because he made all his money. He basically, like, started that team going. You know, it's you can't be mad at him for doing that. Like, honestly, like the man made all the money that he ever needed in Cleveland. He wanted championships. He looked at what's the best team for me to do it. Oh, look, Miami's got the best talent. Came to Miami and won his rings. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go back to Cleveland. And with what he learned in coming to Miami, he went to I'm pretty sure he, with the scouting guys going, you're going to want to get this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy will bring a championship to Cleveland. And he did it.
Yep.
So, you know, you cannot fault the guy. The guy's a hell of an athlete, you know. Like, the more I've seen Brady play, I mean, as much as everybody hates on him, the man's a hell of a quarterback, you know. I mean, I will honestly say, like, also kind of like how the Marlins, back in the day, their scouting coach that they had, that guy had an eye for freaking picking up these kids, these nobodies, and freaking, like, they were a hell of baseball players. Some of the scouts that they have for the Patriots, man, they know how to pick, like, people to be like, okay, work with these people, and they work great. But anyways, but in lieu, so because of your internet, you know, kind of like crapping the bed on you, unfortunately, we'll probably have to postpone our first recording, but I think it's safe to say that we can make the announcement of what we have been working on in the background.
Ooh, drum roll.
Drum roll. Okay, so. Without further ado, we are announcing that we're going to be doing a second show on the channel here, both you and I, and we have dubbed the show the Geek Salad, where what we will be doing is we will be, it's going to be a little bit more serious. We're going to try and get guests that we can interview both from, let me backtrack a bit before I say what we're going to do as well and why we're doing it more serious. It's going to be a show where both J.A. as myself, we will each pick something that we'll want to talk about. Me, I'm going to be doing it because on my own personal channel, I used to do board game reviews, and I really, really enjoyed doing it, and I really enjoyed the board gaming side of it, so I am going to present stuff that I find board games that's something that video gamers may be interested in trying, and I would get J.A.'s opinions on what he would think of stuff like that. And J.A. is going to pick stuff from the video game side and see like what, you know, stuff that I haven't seen yet, present it, and then I'll give my opinions as far as like what I think from a board gaming side of what people may think of that. And the reason why we're going to do it this way is we're going to go a little bit more serious because we were actually going to try, and correct me if I'm wrong, J.A., we're going to see if we can actually get people to come on and actually interview with us from both the video gaming world as well as the board gaming world. So the name of the show, and I don't even know if I even said it because I've been ranting and raving, we're going to be calling it Geek Salad. And I actually was thinking about this, J.A., and you can tell me if you like it or not. We'll do it live on the air, and I don't give a shit what people say.
We'll do it live.
I was thinking, since you were thinking of doing the interview stuff as a side thing, we can release little sideshows of when we do the interviews of them and call it a Geek Side Salad instead of like the regular Geek Salad.
Hey, I like it.
So
get that branding in there.
So we were going to actually film the first episode, and then we're going to get together, and I was going to present to you kind of like my idea for the intro and all that. But of course, hey, internet sucks. We'll have to send a really nice thank you note to those pressure washers that decided, yeah, like, hey, that box.
In case anybody's wondering what happened, we had pressure washers over here, and outside we have the Wi-Fi extenders and stuff, so it goes all across the whole buildings. And we also have one of our switches out there. Now, it's in a metal box, it's locked up and everything, but it still is susceptible to getting damaged by water. So you would think that a pressure washer would be like, hey, don't shoot water over near the thing that there's clearly an outlet beneath it, and you see electronic equipment, because the Wi-Fi extender actually sticks outside the box. No. They just like spray that motherfucker.
They're like, fuck it, we got paid to clean the whole building. Let's clean the whole building.
So we had to rebuild that. And yeah, that's why we didn't get to do both the shows. And we ended up recording this show later during the Super Bowl, which we didn't want to do because we wanted to watch the Super Bowl. But hey, you know, we do it for you because we love y'all.
But it's okay because that way we didn't watch the Super Bowl and the Patriots won, so it's okay.
Except for the Patriots winning, it's okay.
So here's the thing that I wonder, which I laugh at, is, you know, so obviously, you know, now he's got like the fifth ring, which is like the big thing that they were kind of like pushing out over here. Which, shit, that reminds me, I wonder when the hell they're gonna do the fucking parade. I might have to ask for that day off so I can go downtown. Gotta cancel class if it's on a Friday. Fuck it, no class. Fuck it, everybody go to the. Dude, seriously, like you'd honestly be surprised. I don't know if you've ever seen if they put on the news down there when they do the fucking parades up here. Yo, they literally shut this fucking city down. Like, people fucking call out sick and shit, run into their bosses at the parade and shit.
Hey, weren't you sick? Weren't you, motherfucker?
Weren't you supposed to be in the office? Yeah. But it's funny because like they usually do it down in downtown, right where the main path where the Boston Marathon passes. That's where the main thing. Dude, I shit you not. So there's an Apple store there along Main Street, which is a flagship store. So it's like three floors and it's all glass so you can see out. They will literally have people in the store just up against the glass, like looking out so they could see them pass by and shit. And as a matter of fact, for the for the Boston Marathon, they will actually, during the actual marathon, they close the doors to the store so people can't come in. So literally the only people in the store are the employees, and they can sit there and see what's going on. Nice. It's pretty cool. And they were telling me, like, the year that they had the bombing and all that, they actually opened their doors to let people in to protect them. And shit. I was like, that's fucking nuts, dude.
Well, now you guys know what's coming forth. We got Geek Salad coming up soon.
And you know, the big things that we were working on for 2017 only took 2 months into the year to organize this shit.
Hey, all good things come to those who wait.
Damn right.
All right, so, and this show will be back very soon with another episode, because I know you guys like it, and we're going to have to look for some more clickbait in the meantime. That's what takes so long. We want to get something we know you're going to click on and then get mad that you clicked on it.
God, I just remembered that picture just now. Good God.
So, yeah, we're going to have more for you guys. So stay tuned, because guess what? I know with those pictures, you're going to stay tuned, at least for that.
We're going to hell and we're driving the bus down with us. Good Lord.
All right. I'm J.A., he's Randy, and we'll be back with another You Don't Get the Show very soon. But until then, peace out.